Welcome to Raker's Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. Well, we've made it to the end of the 2023-2024 NBA season, and things really actually ended up working out really well for the Lakers. The Lakers ended up in the eighth seed, so they'll take on the New Orleans Pelicans in the 7-8 play-in tournament matchup in New Orleans. New Orleans finished in the seventh seed, Lakers finished in the eighth seed, so New Orleans gets home court advantage in that game. If the Lakers lose that game, then they will take on the winner of the Kings and Warriors in the 9-10 game at home in LA. So we'll see what happens. The game takes place on Tuesday, which is tomorrow. I'm recording this on Monday. And, you know, things work out pretty much perfectly for the Lakers. So in order for the Lakers to end up in the eighth seed, you know, we were talking about this in the last episode, the different ways that the season could wind up based on how teams like the Suns and the Kings and the Warriors and the Pelicans, how all those teams ended up doing down the stretch of the season. It turned out there was a critical day of games on, gosh, what day was that? Like Saturday, I want to say. I'm trying to pull up the scores. Or Friday. I think it was Friday. So the Lakers played the Grizzlies, and the Lakers got a narrow, narrow victory against the Grizzlies, 123-120. A pretty disappointing game in general. The Lakers were playing basically the Grizzlies G League team. You know, they panned over to the Grizzlies bench in that game, and pretty much all of their normal starters and players were in street clothes. So just overall a disappointing game to lose by, or to win by only by 3 points. But, you know, Lakers got the win, which was the important factor in that game. So yeah, on Friday, so the Suns played the Kings. Because of the situation with the Kings owning the Lakers, or the tiebreaker against the Lakers, we needed the Kings to lose that game. And then the Warriors were playing the Pelicans, and again, because of the tiebreaker situation, we needed the Warriors to lose that game as well, which both happened. The Suns beat the Kings by 1 point. It was a close game. The Suns were losing by like six with 2 minutes to go in the game. Suns ended up making a little comeback and winning that game by 108-107, which, you know, basically put that game plus the Warriors losing to the Pelicans put the Lakers in a situation where all they had to do was beat the Pelicans on Sunday in the last game of the season. And if they won that game, they would lock in the eighth seed. If they had lost that game, they would drop down to the 10th seed. So it was an important game, and the Lakers came out and played extremely well. They were up in that game by like pretty much 20 to 30 points the entire game, which was great. You know, it's one of those things where like the Lakers going in and getting a win in a must-win situation and doing it in a dominant fashion is always so nice to see. Lakers get the win 124-108. Anthony Davis put up 30 points. We had LeBron with 28 points, 17 assists. I think he had 13 assists just in the first half alone. D'Lo put up 19 points. Reeves put up 20 points. All five starters scored in double figures. Bench scoring was not really there. You know, 9 points from Torian Prince in 20 minutes. You had Dinwiddie with 7 points in 14 minutes, and that was it. You know, it was all the starters in this game, which, you know, it's good to see. I mean, obviously you need bench scoring, but in this game, you know, you only had, let's see, Torian Prince 20 minutes. You had Dinwiddie 14 minutes, Gabe Vincent 13 minutes. So it was a little bit of a tighter rotation, and then you had some just garbage time minutes for the deep bench guys. But you had, you know, you had D'Lo played 38 minutes, LeBron 38 minutes, Rui 34 minutes. This was a game where, you know, Darvin Ham wasn't really messing around. There was games down the stretch of the season where there were must-win games, right? Like against the Kings, and there was one against, who was it against? The Timberwolves, where winning those games would have helped us tremendously. You know, the Lakers ended up only being, I want to say, two games behind the Pelicans for the sixth, or behind the Suns for the sixth seed. Let me pull it up really quick. You had the Lakers finished, yeah, two games behind Phoenix for the sixth seed, three games behind Dallas for the fifth seed, right? So like you have a handful of games that throughout the course of the season where you could look back on and like these were must-win games, right? The tiebreaker situation against the Kings, you know, dropping all four games against them, that's a big situation, right? The Timberwolves, Just a Western Conference team that, like, at the time, Karl Anthony Towns was out, but I think LeBron didn't play in that game. So, you know, it's tough just with the way the season lines up and when guys play or don't play and things like that can affect it. But all that's to say is, you know, Darvin Ham's comments in the middle of the season saying that, like, the season's a marathon and fans, you know, they live and die by every game. You know, it's true. It is a marathon. The season's a marathon. I understand that you can't play, you know, LeBron and AD 40 minutes every single night. But that comment, you look back at that comment and you see that the Lakers finished three games behind fifth place, the fifth seed. And, I mean, they even finished, let's say, four games behind the fourth seed in the Clippers, right? Like, a four-game difference over an 82-game season is manageable. You know, this Lakers team has the talent, you know, when guys are clicking and stuff. You know, just the month of December really screwed us over in terms of just D'Lo played really bad in that month. Austin Reeves was still struggling. They were coming off the bench at that time in the season. Torian Prince was getting 30-plus minutes a game, right? So the team had some figuring out to do, especially in that month of December. And you know, thankfully they figured it out and they made a push and they made the eighth seed. That's great. But, like, I'm kind of tired as a Lakers fan of having the Lakers having to play a play-in game just to get into the playoffs. You know, the play-in tournament, while it's a good idea for the NBA's sake in terms of, like, keeping teams engaged, right? Like, teams like the Warriors may not have been engaged if they were in the 10th seed down the stretch. Even Houston, right? There was a point in the season with only a few weeks left where they were three games back on the Warriors. They had a chance to bump up into the 10th seed, and they're playing well. So there's a chance that you know, the play-in tournament does help keep teams engaged. So I understand the implementation of the play-in tournament. Overall, as a neutral fan of the NBA, I like the idea of it. I think it's good. But as a Lakers fan, having been in the play-in tournament three of the last 4 years, I think it is, you know, I'm tired of the Lakers having to play a play-in game just to get into the playoffs. And I don't want that to be the case. So I would love to be a fifth or sixth seed, not have to worry about the play-in game. You get a little more rest. You don't risk injury and all these different things. And yet we have, you know, another 7-8 matchup. This is the first time the Lakers are not the seventh seed, so we don't have home court advantage. The good news is, which I kind of buried the lead here, is the Lakers are, you know, we're playing New Orleans. We just finished the season in our last game against New Orleans in New Orleans. So the positive here, the silver lining here, is that the Lakers don't have to travel. You know, they stay in New Orleans for a few days for the game tomorrow. They don't have to worry about traveling to Sacramento or to Golden, you know, to San Francisco, or even back home to LA. You know, you kind of get to stay in you're not sleeping in your own bed, which I'm sure the players don't love, but at least they're not traveling. They don't have to do a flight, and they can kind of just stay and lock in New Orleans for, you know, from, you know, they finish the game Sunday, they have Monday, today, and then Tuesday. So all in all, like, of all situations, it's not the worst situation. Obviously, you know, having a home game is nice. And, you know, they're playing the same team twice in a row. They just took it to the Pelicans and won the game 124-108. So, again, like, a commanding win, which there's no reason they can't do it again on Tuesday. But, you know, you play the same team two times in a row, it's easier to make adjustments. It's easier to kind of, like, switch things up and whatnot on both sides. And we talked about this a lot last season during the playoffs, where the team that loses game one or game two, you know, they're really forced to make adjustments. And in this case, like, this is a similar situation where, like, let's say the Lakers, you know, they won game one, and now the Pelicans, because they lost, they feel extra forced to make adjustments. Whereas the Lakers, they're like, oh, well, we just won by 16 points. We had a 30-point lead in this game. Like, we played really well. So we're just going to keep doing the same thing, you know. And then the Pelicans make adjustments, and it's a different game. And then, you know, the Pelicans could come out and kind of punch the Lakers in the face, and, you know, we'll see. So we'll see what happens. All that being said is I like the Pelicans matchup versus having to play the Suns or the Warriors or the Kings, right? Like, for that first game, if the Lakers But the Lakers give them the best chance of winning, right? Like, we've played well against the Pelicans this season, so I like that matchup. I like the fact that we can stay in New Orleans. We don't have to travel for the game, so that's nice too. So all that being said, I think the Lakers should win this game. However, if the Lakers win this game, they match up against Denver. You know, if the Lakers win this game, they finish in the seventh seed, which matches up against the second seed, which is Denver. So in the Western Conference, the top six that are locked in, you have OKC as the one seed, Denver is the two seed, Minnesota is the three seed, the Clippers are the four seed, Dallas is the fifth seed, and Phoenix is the sixth seed. So the matchups that we do know we're going to have are Minnesota-Phoenix and Clippers-Dallas in the first round, and then OKC and Denver have to wait to see what happens with the play-in. So, you know, if the Lakers win, right, the 7-8 matchup, they lock in the seventh seed and then play Denver in the first round. If they lose, then they play the winner of Sacramento and Golden State for the eighth seed, who would then match up with OKC. So an interesting turn of events here, because Denver was kind of like on pace to finish in the first seed, but then on that same day, on what did I say it was, Friday, the day that the Suns beat the Kings and the Warriors lost to the Pelicans, and that same day the Nuggets blew a 20-point lead to the Spurs, and the Spurs won that game, which going into Sunday had the top three teams all tied for first, and we finished the season with OKC and Denver tied for first. And I guess OKC owns the tiebreaker against Denver, so they got the one seed, so it dropped Denver down to two. So now the Lakers are in the predicament where if they win this game, they see Denver for in the first round, which, you know, at the end of the day, like, if you're the seventh seed, you're going to see a good team in that first round no matter what. The downside here is that the Lakers haven't shown us that they can beat Denver. You know, we got swept in the Western Conference Finals, and then we didn't beat them once this in the regular season this year. We seem to not be a good matchup against them. We don't have a big body to throw at Jokic. AD can only do so much, right? AD's a little more tall, lanky. Jokic is tall and bulky, right? So, like, he can kind of just make his way down in the paint. You know, we just don't match up that well against them. Although, I thought we matched up well against them last season in the playoffs, and, you know, I guess I was wrong. I think Jokic has become a better defender than he was, you know, a season or two seasons ago. I think AD has trouble going up against him because he's a big body. I think Jokic is just a crazy player, right? Like, he can have his way down in the key. He flips up these layups. He's a great passer. He finds Aaron Gordon in the dunker spot all the time. He can hit, you know, he hits the most timely, insane threes down towards the end of the shot clock, all these things, right? And all that being said, like, you look back at the Western Conference Finals, and the Lakers played the Nuggets pretty well. Like, we got swept, which is not great, but you look at those games, and, like, most of those games are close games, 6-point game, 3-point game, and Lakers just couldn't get it done. They couldn't get the stops when they needed them, and like I've said time and time again, the Nuggets just hit really timely shots, and they were rewarded for it, and they won the series and ended up winning the finals. So all that being said is, there's people on Twitter right now that are saying the Lakers should throw the 7-8 game, let the Pelicans win, so that the Lakers, they can play the Kings or the Warriors for the eighth seed, so then you match up against OKC. And, you know, the thing is here, like, I saw, I think it was either Trevor Lane or Mike Trudell, one of those two on Twitter, they said it best, where they were like, the silver lining here is if the Lakers do lose against the Pelicans, then you don't have to play the Nuggets. But by no means should you go out and throw the game or attempt to lose just to not face the Nuggets. You know, I think you still go out there and try and win. And if you lose, you know, not worst case scenario, but like, the silver lining in losing is that if you're able to win the game for the eighth seed, then you don't have to face the Nuggets in the first round. But at the end of the day, like, the Nuggets are the best team in the West. They're probably the best team in the NBA. And it's likely, if a team is a finals contender, that they're going to have to go through Denver in order to get there. So whether it's the Lakers playing Denver again in the Western Conference Finals, or it's the Lakers playing them in the first round, you're going to have to play Denver regardless. I mean, it's possible, obviously, like if you're on the right side of the bracket and the Nuggets happen to lose, you know, if the Nuggets get a bad matchup against a team that they don't play well against, like Phoenix or maybe Minnesota. I don't know how. I would assume that Minnesota's a little better against them with Rudy Gobert and stuff. But if, you know, if they get a bad matchup and they end up somehow losing a series, then, you know, the Lakers get lucky and can make a run or something like that. Like, sure, things like that happen. But, you know, this is what the Lake, you reap what you sow, right? Like the Lakers, they kind of messed around this season, right? Like, and this is, again, this is why it's a tough situation with the NBA, where I understand that you don't want to go full on hard 82 games, whatever, but like three of the last four NBA champions, something like that, have been the one seed or the one or two seed, I think. Or let's see, last year Nuggets were the one seed, 2022 the Warriors, I don't know, were the Warriors like the two seed? I forget what the Warriors were. 2021 the Bucks, I think they were the one seed or the two seed. The Lakers were the one seed in 2020. 2019 the Raptors, I think they were a one or two seed. This is just off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure if all five, if not four or five, something like that, have been the one or the two seed, you know. Obviously you have teams also, though, like the Grizzlies last year, who were the two seed and lost to the Lakers in the first round. You have teams like the Jazz, I think, in 2022, who were the one seed, and they dropped out in the first or second round, right? So you do have teams that do go all out and like they finish in the one seed and then they don't, you know, they don't have anything left in the tank for the playoffs. Or you just, you know, get a bad matchup against a team like Denver, or like Dallas with Luka, and he goes off on you or something like that, right? Like those things happen as well. But at the end of the day, like the teams that finish in the top two or three seeds are most likely to end up winning the finals, whether you're in the Eastern or Western Conference. And so there is something to be said about that. You know, being in the seventh or eighth seed, you're at a disadvantage. You don't have home court advantage. That's one thing. You're going up against, in theory, better teams earlier on in the playoffs. And it's more of an uphill battle at the end of the day. You know, you're putting more things against you than you need to. And so that's why I'm not a fan of the Lakers fully, you know, taking it easy in the regular season and just, you know, the mindset of like, if you make the playoffs, we're fine. We'll figure it out then. You know, like, I don't love that. Like, yes, we did. This is the first time where like you had the Lakers as a seventh seed in the Western Conference last year, and you had the Heat as a, I think they were seven or eight. They were the eighth seed. You had the Heat as the eighth seed making the finals, right? So you did have that last season, which I think was the first time that you had that low of seeds finishing as late in the playoffs. But I mean, not the first time ever. I think there's been like seven or eight seeds that have made it far, but like the first time since the play-in tournament that you've had those teams, those low of seeds, making it to the Western Conference Finals and the finals, you know. So in one sense I do get it, but at the end of the day, like, the better team, the teams that have the advantages, like, you need as many advantages as you can give yourselves in the playoffs, right? Like, the margin of error is so thin, as we saw in the Denver series last season. The margin of error is so thin that, you know, Lakers get swept when, like, in an alternate reality where, like, not that much changes, the Lakers are, you know, it's a tied series. It's 2-2, or it's, you know, at the worst, you know, worst case scenario, you win at least one game, right? So I'm not a huge fan of dropping into the play-in tournament just because the mindset is like, if we make the playoffs, we'll be fine. Because obviously they haven't been, you know, the Lakers, like, yes, there was the one year where AD got hurt against the Suns when the Lakers were up like 2-1 in that series, and we probably had a chance to win the finals if they stayed healthy. That is true. That's an injury thing, and it's hard to like say what ifs with injuries and stuff, but you know, there was that situation. And then last season we made the Western Conference Finals, so like we were close. So this season we'll see what happens, but I think the Lakers, you know, you reap what you sow, and I think that we made it to the 7-8 game, and you do what you can to get in the playoffs, and you go from there. Lakers are going to have to go, you know, the team that wins the finals this season is going to have to go through Denver, is my opinion on it. And so if the Lakers think that they're finals contenders, they shouldn't be afraid of going up against Denver, even if that happens in the first round. And if anything, like, maybe you view it as, like, you'd rather go up against Denver in the first round when you're more fresh and you haven't played two series than in the Western Conference Finals when you've already gone through two series. You've played 12 games, 12 playoff games just before you've even faced them in the Western Conference Finals, you know. And maybe you argue on the flip side, like, they're also more rested in that sense too. So I don't know. But at the end of the day, like, I don't think that if, because here's the thing, if the Lakers mess around, lose to the Pelicans on purpose, let's just say they lose on purpose because they think that they can beat the Kings or the Warriors for the 8th seed, and they lose and miss the playoffs altogether, that's almost an unforgivable offense, you know, to the fans and whatnot. Like, will it stop me from being a Lakers fan? No, but it'll make me lose a lot of respect for Darvin Ham, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the entire team. Like, this specific, the individuals on this team, I'll lose a lot of respect for them if they chose to do that. If they come out and do not play hard against the Pelicans and it's evident that they are okay with losing that game, that's going to be pretty upsetting. I think that you got to do what you got to do to win and to make the playoffs, and it is what it is, right? Like, things didn't fall as favorably where, in a different situation, the Lakers are playing OKC in if they're the 7th seed, but in this case they're playing Denver. So this all again assumes that the Lakers do win against the Pelicans. You know, I think that the Lakers should be able to win. I think that, you know, they play well against the Pelicans. There's no reason that they shouldn't win, in my opinion. The only reason, I guess, of why they shouldn't win would be if Anthony Davis's back isn't okay. So towards the end of the game against the Pelicans on Sunday, Anthony Davis left the game and went back to the locker room with like 3 to 5 minutes left in the game. Like, the game was almost over. And AD left with some back problems, which obviously back, anything with your back or your neck is always really nerve-wracking. So he's having back problems. And, you know, I said after the game he'd be good to go. It sounded like Darvin Ham was saying that the problem that he was having was mostly like back spasms and that he'd be okay. So, like, if it's back, I don't know. I've never really had back spasms. It doesn't sound that bad, but, like, I've heard from other people that they can be pretty bad. So I guess it depends on maybe just the severity of it. But if he's able to get some rest and whatnot and go on Tuesday and go hard and play well, then there's no reason the Lakers should lose to New Orleans, in my opinion, unless CJ McCollum and Brandon Ingram and you know, they just go off from three or something like that. But there's no reason that the Lakers shouldn't be able to pull out a win against New Orleans in that first round play-in tournament game. And that's the thing too, is like, if the Lakers lose to the Pelicans, then you're in a loser go home or a winner go home situation against either the Kings, who the Lakers haven't beaten once this season, or the Warriors, who have Steph Curry. And as we saw in their game last week, the Warriors, or against the Lakers against the Warriors, you know, the Warriors shot like 65% from three, you know, and if that happens in the game for the 8th seed, you know, it's possible, it could happen, and I don't want to take that chance, you know. So I'd rather get into the playoffs, take our chances against Denver, right? Like, maybe that's what the Lakers need. If the Lakers are going to be real title contenders, which, again, some people might scoff at that idea that the Lakers are title contenders this season, but my thought process is, if the Lakers have a healthy LeBron and Anthony Davis, then they should be considered title contenders. You know, they can go up against any team and get a win, as they showed this season. I mean, we went up against some of the, you know, that we beat some of the best teams in the NBA this season over the course of the season, so there's no reason we can't do it. There's our certain teams like Denver that we struggled against and the Kings that we struggled against and whatnot. So maybe if the Lakers were going to be title contenders, you know, you need to exercise those demons of of beating Denver. You know, you got to get that out of their, got to get that out of their system, beat Denver and go on and go for, you know, go for gold, go for that championship. So we'll see what happens. You know, I think I like our chances against New Orleans. I don't like our chances against Denver necessarily, but we'll cross that bridge if and when we get there. And again, yeah, I agree with the thought that if we do lose tomorrow to New Orleans, not having to play Denver is a silver lining if we indeed are able to lock in the eighth seed. But I'd rather not take the chance. I'd rather just go out, get the win, and start game planning for Denver. So we'll see what happens. The Lakers play New Orleans. I believe the game's tomorrow. And hopefully the Lakers can pull out a win. Hopefully we can get another good game from LeBron, Anthony Davis, D'Lo. Hopefully they can just keep riding that wave that we had on Sunday, and we can lock in that seventh seed. Thank you all for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony!